Hi, I'm Kristen.
And I'm her little brother, William.
We're from the podcast Guide to the Unknown, where we only talk about scary stuff and have a good time doing it.
Come join the scary fun, everyone.
Wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find Guide to the Unknown.
No.
This is Creepy, a podcast dedicated to sharing the most famous, chilling, and disturbing creepypastas and urban legends in the world. Whether these stories truly happened or are simply fabrications is for you to decide. These stories may contain graphic depictions of violence and explicit language. Listener discretion is advised.
Creepy presents The Holders. Number 19. The Holder of Innocence. In any city, in any country, go to any mental institution or halfway house you can get yourself to. When you reach the front desk, ask with no hesitation to visit someone who calls himself the Holder of Innocence. The worker will say nothing, but a single tear should fall from her eye. She will guide you to a forgotten hallway in an abandoned wing of the rundown institution. She will not enter the hall with you, but will only look into your eyes with a cautious hope, her own expression seeming to beg for salvation. Should you enter the hall, you will not see much, save for the dirty, broken fragments of what were once beautifully carved ivory statuettes. Before long, you will hear a soft whimper from the other side. Pay close attention, for if the whimper stops, then all hope is already lost. There is no use in running away. As you turn the handle of the simple wooden door on the other side, a warm and cozy light will greet your face. You will find yourself in the bedroom of a young girl of 18 years. The girl herself will be sitting cross-legged on the floor at the foot of the bed, her only garment, an open nightrobe, exposing the entirety of her pure body. She is the source of the tortured whispers, and nothing you can say to console her will end her torrent of stifled wails. Only if you ask her, "What happened when it was first created?" She will become silent to glance up towards your face. Her beauty will render you breathless, and if you are still capable of any thought, it will be only the realization that in her, you see everything in this world that you truly love. Suddenly, you will realize that the girl is bleeding from her nether regions as a grotesque phallus emerges from the petite orifice between her legs. The object will pulsate with its own life, and you will find that it is hypnotizing you. Do not look away, for you do not wish to try its patience. Soon the room will disappear before your eyes, and you will be standing in the most serene clearing you have ever witnessed, and all of nature's fauna that you recognize will go about their lives around you, with no fear of anything, not even death. Suddenly, though, a shadow will fall over the meadow, and you will witness the forest all around burst into a pillar of flame. What happens next? No man can dwell on for long before going insane. But in the strength of the human mind, you will endure. In the end, you will hear screams and moans and groans. But what will overcome you more than anything are the quiet whimpers, the stifled cries of all the sullied innocence of the world that was. You realize that these cries will continue to be heard all across the globe until the world's end. None can endure those near silent pleas and still manage the slightest hope for the future. The illusion will fade, and you will find yourself back in the room. You will find the girl lying dead on the floor, her face a mixture of agony and horror. her already decaying body feeding the now towering phallus and giving it a sinister glow. That is Object 19 of 538. If you touch it, then it will be yours. But if you let it master you, then it will use your body to seek and assemble all the pieces, no matter what the cost. Number 20. The Holder of Deception. In any city, in any country, go to any mental institution or halfway house you can get yourself to. When you reach the front desk, ask to visit someone who calls himself the Holder of Deception. The worker will look at you with an expression of shock on her face. Then, with superhuman speed, she will attack you with her baton. If you are not knocked unconscious by the first blow, flee the city, for they will know what you are after. When your consciousness returns, you will be in a magnificent courtyard on a starry night. There will be a great stone staircase that appears to ascend to the heavens themselves. Climb this staircase, but never look behind you. If you do, the stairs will begin to crumble, and you will plummet into the void for all eternity. After what seems like days of climbing, you will come to a landing overlooking a great marble amphitheater styled in the ancient Greek fashion. Descend to the bottom of the amphitheater. An old man in opalescent robes will be waiting for you on a dais in the center. This storied old man will be lecturing as if there was a great crowd. However, you must not listen to him, for not a word he speaks is true. If you are drawn in by his charismatic speaking, your mind will be completely subjugated by his deception, and you will be his slave for eternity. He will only react to one question. What is the only truth you are permitted to speak of? The man will look down at you with an expression of great sadness. He will then impart on you a story that will shake the foundations of your soul with great sorrow, but will leave you knowing one important truth. The number itself is not as it seems. He will then motion you towards an exit from the amphitheater and continue his lecture. Turn away from him quickly, for you will now be able to see the legions of horrific, twisted demons sitting on the seats of the amphitheater. Do not gaze towards any of them longer than a moment, or else they will tear you apart and add you to their collection of souls. Walk to the exit as quickly as possible. There will be a great grimoire on a stand next to the door. Take the grimoire and exit through the door. You will find yourself in the back alley behind the asylum. The grimoire you clutch, with its pages firmly strapped shut and locked with a great steel padlock, is Object 20 of 538. Object 21. Holder of Rage. In any city, in any country, go to any mental institution or halfway house you can get yourself to. When you reach the front desk, ask to visit someone who calls himself the Holder of Rage. The person will appear shy as they show you to a door and then walk away. When you enter the door, you will be looking down a staircase that descends into darkness. As you descend the stairs, you will begin to hear screams. The screams will come from a throat of indeterminate origin. If the screaming stops at any time, shout to the darkness.
Resume your business. I do not wish to intrude.
If the screaming does not come back, there is nothing you can do, for you will be dead before you know what happens. If the screaming continues, you may move on. Eventually, you will see light coming through the cracks in a door. Go through this door, and you will be in what appears to be a medieval dungeon. Hollowed out skulls filled with candles serve as lanterns, and skeletons line the walls. There will be a wooden table in front of a fire inside a fireplace. On this table is the severed head of a 4-year-old girl, staring ahead with glassy eyes. Step up to the table and look the head in the eyes. In a clear, commanding voice, ask, "Who will stop them from coming together?" The head will look you in the eyes and tell you the tale of a man. She will tell you his entire story, from his violent birth to what he is doing that very moment. His deeds will be recounted in horrifying detail. He is a murderer of which the likes have never been seen, and he is just as mad. If at the end of the story the head tells you, "He is listening to our conversation," you will be dragged out of the room and never be heard from again. You will experience all of the most horrifying things ever conceived, and you will be kept alive until you have experienced them all. If she tells you he is elsewhere, he is now looking for you. He will not stop until you are dead or the objects come together. She will tell you to pick her up. Pick the head up by the hair and look at the table where she was. Sitting there will be a needle, covered in dried blood, semen, pus, and countless unidentifiable substances. That needle is Object 21 of 538. Number 22, Holder of Chaos. In any city, in any country, go to any hospital and ask to visit the one who refers to himself as the Holder of Chaos. The clerk will begin to shake his head and pound his fists upon the desk. Ask him thrice more, and he will stand up quietly and lead you to a room with only one door, the one which you entered through. You must close your eyes. If you don't, you will forever be stricken blind, and the only thing you will see is a constant sight of utter chaos. If you have closed your eyes in time, after an hour of standing in confusion, you will hear a soft voice call out, "Do you have them?" Do not answer this question. Instead, stomp your foot upon the floor and then open your eyes. If you see a long, stretching field in front of you, then you have succeeded in the first half of your endeavor. If you see a fiery plain of death and mutilation, then it is too late for you. You will be devoured by your own thoughts of your greatest fears. Walk towards the setting sun in the grassy field for 1 hour until you reach a tree with no leaves on its branches. As you get closer, you see that the tree is constructed out of bones and is surrounded in a pool of blood. Submerge yourself fully in this blood, and when you surface once more, you will feel a bone hand press something into your palm. It is a small vial. Drink from the vial, and you will find yourself standing in the lobby of the hospital. This vial is Object 22 of 538. Number 23, The Holder of Hate. In any city, in any country, go to any hospital and ask to visit the Holder of Hate. The attendant will give you a firm handshake, look you straight in the eyes, and say, "It took you long enough." They will hand you a key to room 532 and tell you to go down the left hall. As you walk down the hall, you will hear insane cackling. Should it stop, yell,
"I do not fear you!"
If it does not begin again, run as fast as your legs will carry you. Should it continue, stop walking. Stop when you reach room 532. The door will be covered in scratches, gashes, and all manner of burns. There will be a small, strangely unscarred glass panel in the door. Peer inside. If there is a figure standing with his back to you, retreat as quietly as you can. If the room is empty, unlock the door and enter. A red light will be shining in through the sole window in the room. Should you gaze out of this window, your eyes will soon burst from your sockets, and your screams will be your only utterance for all eternity. The room is small, the walls covered in blood, and a small cloaked figure sits in the middle. It will respond to only one question. Why do they hate? The figure's cloak will fly into the air, revealing a grotesquely disfigured being. It will answer your question in horrific detail. Upon finishing the story, it will collapse, as if a tremendous burden has passed from its shoulders, and crawl into the corner. You will begin to hear strange, unearthly shrieks from beyond the door. They will be getting nearer by the sound. Your only hope is to wrap yourself in the cloak and hurl yourself out the red window. If you are not followed, you will wake up on the lawn of the hospital the next day, wrapped snugly in the cloak. The cloak is Object 23 of 538. It will hide you from their hate. Number 24. The Holder of Color. In any city, in any country, go to any mental institution or halfway house you can get yourself into. When you reach the front desk, ask to visit the Holder of Color. The warden will glance up at you and give you a shy smile before holding out his hand to you. You must wait precisely 8 seconds before taking it, or the colors themselves will deny you, and you may not enter. The warden will stand and lead you to a cell, opening the door for you and motioning for you to enter. Inside the cell, you will find two little boys, both garbed in shades of gray, and their skin and hair will appear as if all the color was drained out of them. One has long hair and wears a white dress, while the other wears a black suit and his hair cut short. Only look into the white one's eyes, for they are normal, and the eyes of the black-clothed boy will lead you into madness. Each will wear one glove and hold out both their hands to you. Take only the gloved hand of each, for should you touch the black-clothed boy's flesh, you will be plagued with the worst agony in all the universe. But you will not die, and he will not let go. Should you touch the white-clothed boy's flesh, you will feel more pleasure than you have ever experienced. But he will soon pull his hand away, and you will never feel that pleasure again, no matter how you yearn for it. Your lust will kill you. The boys will look at each other and nod once. Should they shake their heads, close your eyes and quickly say, "I am not what you seek, but I can change the tides." Once you say this, they will both giggle and pull on your hands, opening a trap door in their cell and descending into darkness. The boys will speak in unison, endlessly bragging about their riches, all the things they have. They will ask you many times if you are jealous. Each time you must simply answer, "Yes." Your fate now lies in the hands of these boys. The stairs you descend are long and grow even narrower, until finally one boy will go in front and one in back. Should the boy in black go in front, consider yourself lucky. Life now is at your back. But should he go in back, your death will be agonizing, and he will throw you from the stairs to the abyss below. After what seems like an eternity, You will reach the end of the stairs, and both boys will push you to a large glass door. They will stare after you, tears streaming down their faces, and tell you they can go no further, but point to the door. You must enter. The room is pitch black, save for a single beam of light at its direct center. Standing in the light is a woman, much like the boys, completely stripped of color. Her hair and gown both reach the earth, each as white as her flesh. Her eyes are only whites, staring blankly at you. If she should smile at you, you must have amused her, and she will light up the entire room with her light, and you will become one of the writhing bodies that makes up the collection beneath her glass floor. Should she frown at you, she will turn her back and light up the part of the room behind her, awakening seven other beings, a cackling man who wears just black, a weeping man garbed in white, a snarling man with piercing red eyes, a grimacing woman who wears only pink petals, an emotionless girl enveloped in green, a sickly man with silver hair, and a smirking gentleman covered in riches. They are to be your judges. You must pick the one that you feel will do you justice and walk towards them, asking along your way, "When will they strip you of this earth?" Should you choose the wrong color, the one you have chosen will stand very still and smile at you eerily, and you will soon feel yourself slipping away into nothingness. Should you have chosen the correct color, they will respond with a hideous screech, pointing fearfully at the woman in the center of the room. The others will scream curses at you in many different languages, and you will feel piercing pain rip through your body. Soon the one you have chosen will step forward to embrace you and whisper in your ear their sickening tales, the stories of your demise, of the demise of the world when every breath will fade away. Do not move. The curses will stop and the room will be lit, the seven all staring at you. Where the woman was, there will now be a small feather, like that of a dove, changing its color continuously. This feather is object 24 of 538. With it, you can take away what was theirs to give.
For more information on this podcast, including how to submit your own story for consideration, please visit creepypod.com. You can also follow us at CreepyPod on social media and YouTube. All stories told on this podcast are done so through Creative Commons Sharealike licensing or with written consent from the authors. No portion of this podcast may be rebroadcast or otherwise distributed without the express written consent of the Creepy Podcast production team and the story's author.
Murder in America is a true crime podcast that covers stories from all 50 states, including stories of mass shootings, serial killers, and lesser-known murders. Do you find yourself doing more research after listening to a true crime show? Well, Courtney and I used to do the same thing, and that's why we created Murder in America. Our podcast dives deep into each case. Our storytelling will make you feel like you're right there within the case with us, watching it all play out, and we do not shy away from the graphic details. If you're a fan of true crime, then listen to Murder in America on Spotify now.
Every town has its dark history. Hometown Ghost Stories is a paranormal podcast that goes town to town all across the globe, exploring the world's most haunted places, tapping into the dusty archives and the darkest corners to bring you the most terrifying stories of real people and their harrowing experiences. Hometown Ghost Stories dives into the history of haunted locations and investigates why and how these places earned their terrifying reputation. Rob, Dave, and Jesse go live every Tuesday night after an uninterrupted documentary-style breakdown on the case, followed by an open discussion with live viewers. Subscribe today to listen to Hometown Ghost Stories on your preferred podcast platform or watch the video version on YouTube and now Spotify. Head on over to the Bloody FM Podcast Network and check out Hometown Ghost Stories if you're brave enough.